Amen. Last night, as the minister, Bishop Toles, Pastor Toles, whatever you want to call him, brought the word, he confirmed some things that the Lord had told me earlier in the week, and I shared them with one lady as we were conversing. But today, the Lord has allowed me to share it with you, and I sat there last night and penned out mostly of this sermon for today. I wasn't scheduled to teach, but I found out after church that I would be teaching. And so, praise God, in season, out of season, whatever, he is merciful, and he always brings fresh meat to the table, I tell you. Ain't nothing like being fed by God. And as I was talking to this sister in the Lord, he brought me to 1 Kings 5 and 17, and if you want to give a title to this thing, you can call it Stones, S-T-O-N-E-S, and I swear he was all over it last night. Lively stones is what we're called in the New Testament, not life, not dead stones, but we're stones. So I want you to know today, you are called to be a stone for the kingdom. And when I first started thinking about this, I don't know why, but Stone Cold Steve Austin came to mind. I'm giving my age away. I wasn't a big wrestling fan, but I remember that name because it stuck out. And that's, of course, the whole point of his name was he had many names, but that was the last one. Stone Cold. You are called to be Stone Cold. And not so much in your attitude, but when it comes to the enemy, you are called to be a stone. You don't faze me. You won't move me. And you have no power over me. You adapt that stone cold attitude when it comes to the enemy. When it comes to your flesh, it should be the same way. Sometimes we struggle more with our flesh than we do with the enemy. Because the flesh wants what it wants, and it knows what it wants. And when it wants it, amen. But I was talking to the sister of the Lord. She was going through some things, and God gave me this verse. In 1 Kings 5 is Solomon building the temple. And it talks about some of the different things, the wood, where it came from another kingdom, was shipped in and worked on, and Solomon, how he hired people in. But verse 17 is where he stuck me. And it says, and the king commanded. Now I want you to know, your king is commanding you. And they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones to lay the foundation of the house. To lay the foundation of the house. We're talking about the temple of God. So when that hit my mind, New Testament come up. Well, we'll read that in a minute, but I want to talk about being stones. So I looked up stones. I always do. Hard, solid, non-metallic material matter of which rock is made, especially as a building material. It's a piece of stone shaped for a purpose. Do you hear with your spiritual ears what I'm trying to say? And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. We are those stones. We're building on the foundation, as we all know who that is, the cornerstone, the one that was rejected. We're building on the foundations of the prophets and the apostles. They are all stones. And baby, you got to work. You got to layer to lay. You are part of that layer. You are part. In this house, I had the epiphany one day during service. God said, you, meaning this church, are my mosaic work. You are pieces put together to show me. Last night he talked about the pieces of the puzzle, and that's what you are. You're a stone in the temple, in the house of God. So immediately my mind went to 1 Peter 2 and 5, and we'll read that. And last night that he was all up in this. Bless his Lord. I sat there. If you saw me writing, it's because God was giving me this sermon. If you saw me, when you see me writing, God, I am taking down the word that I'm hearing through the Spirit. Yes. Oh, yes. That's that iron sharpening iron. And sometimes he'll give me, you know, scriptures through the week, and I don't know how they all go together. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. But they all went together this week. No, not in these hills, brother. Now, if the good Lord, Holy Spirit hits me, I've seen them sisters come up out of them hills and run the house. I ain't beyond that. That was my upbringing. I ain't going to say a word. I've seen a few jump on top of the pews and run. That was kind of scary. But anyway, I was like, in the name of Jesus, don't let that man fall. All right, go back to 1 Peter 2, chapter. This whole chapter is great. It's great, as is everything in the Bible. But for what I'm talking about, it says, ye also as lively stones. Not just dead stones. Not the stones that you throw at people. You know, Jesus was, they tried to stone him twice, and he walked on out of there. Not those kinds of stones. But as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, as holy priesthood, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be conformed. Until you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Wow, that was a lot. I said a whole lot right there in just four or five paragraphs, but lively, full of life, energy, active, ongoing, full of activity and excitement. Those are definitions of lively stones. I've met a lot of people in the church that were not lively stones. Being a minister's daughter, being raised Pentecostal, I've seen it all. I've seen some that make you run and not want what God has, or at least that's what you thought was God. Yes, sir. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Yeah, and that's what that means. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. And they stumble because they do not obey God's word. They do not obey God's word. That's New Living Translation. That's the great thing about having many translations. Praise God. I cut my teeth on King James, but boy, I like some explanation and amplified, et cetera, occasionally. But you will see how they vary from the original sometimes. Do what? Yes. Yes. Okay. We'll talk about it. But we are called to be stones, and not hard and unfeeling, but we are called to be lively stones. So I don't want you going out here telling Pastor, I told you to be stone cold, Austin. No, you're called to be a lively stone. Yeah. But when it comes to the enemy, now you can take that stone cold attitude into the flesh. I ain't moving. You ain't moving me. You have no power. That's your thing. But I love to go back to the First Kings 5 verse. And when God first showed it to me, I understood it to read that the king commanded and brought great stones. And why were they great? Because they were precious and huge stones. Now, if you read other translations, it truly means that there were different types of stones. But for my revelation, this is what God gave me: precious and huge. And those are the things that the enemy uses against us many times. First of all, he tells you, you're nothing. You're not worthy. And on Friday night, the evangelist brought the word. Your little bit is what God needs. It's all he needs. Just be obedient, shut the door, and start pouring. Get the vessels, start pouring. Shut the door. But you are precious. Precious means that you have great value and you're not to be wasted or treated carelessly. You know, the first thing that came to my mind when I read that was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That was the sacrifice, the lamb that was slain for us. The cross is all about love. Love. Watch the movies. It's all about love. Everything that was done, every step, every day, every sermon, every beating, every mocking, the crucifixion itself is all about love. It was the love of the Father that the Son brought us into right standing and gave us the opportunity to be righteous. And brought us back into the foe for to say. But I looked up a little more. Deuteronomy 14:2. It says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord, the God, thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto him above all the nations that are upon the earth. The New Living Treasure, says you are his own special treasure. I'm precious. I'm so precious, and you're so precious, that the Son of God came and died. He became man. That was his first thing. He descended to us in flesh and endured the flesh and all the wonderful things that come with the flesh that we deal with because of the fall in the garden. So I am precious. You are precious. You are a precious stone. You have value. You weren't just bought with money. You were bought with blood. And my friends, I can give you money all day long. When you start asking for my blood, I might be thinking twice about it. But he did not. No, I would probably give up my life for my children. That husband of mine, I love him, but he's on his own. He ain't blood. He's a good man. He's a godly man. Very few bullets that I step in front of for him. Y'all go out there and tell him that. He'd say, yep. He'd agree with me. But you are bought with blood. There's something about shedding blood that makes a big difference. That is something that has great value when you want to do that. And them two children I had with that lovely man of mine, I'd shed blood for them. I'd die and go to prison for them. It's so bad that my daughter, when she goes through things, she won't tell me. But she knows Mama has way too many guns. And Mama ain't afraid to die and go to prison for her. So she'll sit and cry as opposed to tell me what's going on sometimes. Because she knows Mama's also a little psycho when it comes to, when it comes to her babies. Mama Bear kicks in. Yes, ma'am. That's it. Yeah. No, that's not what he wants. No. Yes. And it's a trap of the enemy. Yes. And it affects our boldness to go before the throne of God, which should never be that way. Get it under the blood. It ain't worth it. Get it under that blood. That blood's precious. Isaiah 19 and 16, New Living Translation says, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. Wow. That's beautiful. I don't have any tattoos on my body because, you know, I choose not to. But God has my name written on his hands. It's an ever reminder to him of you and I. I thought that was beautiful. Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are God's handiwork. Baby, you just ain't here by accident. Yeah, Mama and Daddy had a good thing going. Or whatever, however you got here. I ain't got, you know, some of us got here different ways. But I knew you before I formed you in the womb. It's personal. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Psalms 139:13. For you created me in my innermost beings. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's a personal thing. That's why them babies are so precious, because we carried them babies for 9 months, went through all the trouble and trauma, and then had to get them here in blood, sweat, and tears. Ooh. That's that blood thing, you know. When you get them here by blood, man, I don't care whether they come natural or C-section, it ain't good either way. It's not a pleasant experience. And if you had one, I want to talk to you. Because mine was blood, sweat, and tears. John 3:16, we all read that one. Ephesians 2 and 13. The Gentiles were brought in. Now, see, this was originally for the Jews, but God promised Abraham that his seed would be as the stars of the sky. Not just going to be this nation, but all people of the earth will be blessed through you, was the promise he gave him. Ephesians 2, Paul's talking to him, and he's talking about the household of God. And he's talking about how the Gentiles now are part of the household of God. We all know the story of Peter on the roof. Jesus gave him, or the sheet come down, excuse me, and had different food on it. And he said, Lord, I can't eat it. It's unclean. And the Lord says, in my own paraphrasing, what I have called clean, do not call unclean. And the Gentiles were at the door waiting for him to come and calling to bring him on to Cornelius' house. And so that brought in, and Cornelius' house was not only saved, but baptized in the Holy Spirit. So brought the Gentiles in, and it says, Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're precious. There's that blood again. Precious. You are precious. And I love, if you go up to 12, it says that after that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are precious stone. You are precious. Amen. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We read that earlier, 1 Peter 2. But you are precious. You are called to be a stone in the foundation. Just like the apostles, just like the prophets, you are called for such a time as this. You go back to Esther. She was in a beauty contest. She found favor with the king and became queen, but it wasn't just for her, now was it? Mordecai soon learned of the extermination of the Israelites. And he tells her, he says, girl, you are put in there for this time. It's time to do it. She knew the law. She said, if I go before the king without being summoned, I could be put to death immediately. Sometimes when God opens that door and puts that before you, you've got to have a stone cold attitude. I don't think that they are going to do this to my people. So she fasted. The whole nation fasted 3 days. And then she put on her robe, who she was, baby, and stepped out into the corridor. And when he saw her, he put the scepter toward her and said, come on in. You weren't invited, but here is my scepter, and you have safe passage. Whatever you want, come to me. Woo! Stone cold. Could you remember, could you even imagine that her knees were shaking under that gown? I've been in some of those. My knees were probably knocking. She might have been stone cold. Sometimes you're stone cold on the outside, and but you all jelly on the inside. Come on. Joyce Meyer say, do it afraid. Just do it. Whatever you got to do, do it. Even if you have to do it afraid, do it. Go back to 1 Kings, a great stone. A precious stone, a huge stone. And this is where a lot of us bail out. Ain't nobody going to be hewed on. Hewed means to make or shape by cutting or chopping. Oh, I've been in this for a long time. And I'm still being chopped and cut on. I'm still being hewed. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18, New Living Translation says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved, King James says who are saved, you are, but it's a process sometimes. No, it is the very power of God. That's why you see people don't come to church, don't read their Bibles, don't want to know nothing about it, because they become accountable. It's that sword, that double-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint, the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the word of God. Get in that word. It's going to shape you. It's going to mold you. Is it going to hurt? Oh, yes, it will. But I want to be a stone for the foundation. I want to be somebody that my kids years from now will say, well, because of mama. How many of those stories do you have about your grandmothers and your grandfathers, maybe aunts or uncles? But because of them, they were a stone for the foundation, for the very church, for the house of God. We are called to be stones in our time to help build the next generation up. You know, I'm here to tell you, he ain't going to wait much longer. If we've got 10 years, I'll be surprised. I'm not putting a time limit on it, but I'm telling you, there's too many things going on in the Bible that's being fulfilled. Way too many things that I can read and see, and those are the fulfillment of the Word of God. I want to be a stone. Does it hurt when He prunes you? Yes, it does. But what's the purpose according to the Word? So you'll bear much fruit. I don't want to be somebody that when the pressure came, I gave way. Matthew 2:21-44 and Luke 20:18 say the same things. These are words of Jesus. And whosoever shall fall on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls will be ground into dust, into powder. Who's the stone? Who's the chief cornerstone? Oh, baby, I'll fall on that stone and let that stuff break off of me any day than been ground to powder when it falls on you. Woo! Jeremiah got the revelation in chapter 18 about the potter spinning the clay and making it and forming it. And that's what we're doing. Paul even told the Romans in Romans chapter 9, it says, will the formed speak to the one that is forming it and make a demand of what it shall be? Those are my own words, but literally, he says, you can't tell God what you want. He knows what you need. He knows what tomorrow holds, what next week holds, what next year holds. How many times have you seen things come and go in your life and then eventually seen why? It has happened. I've seen it in my own lifetime. I thought things would work out this way, but God had an old different plan. And boy, it was so much easier and nicer. And it worked out so much better than what I could have done myself. It's that hewing away. 1 Peter 2:5 talks about us being offering up spiritual sacrifices. This is the hewing away. It's your denying yourself. It's denying your own will. Denying your flesh, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Oh, man. Oh. Matthew 16:24-25, and this is after Peter had rebuked Jesus for going to the cross. He tells him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will give his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Luke 9:23 says, deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily. I love they put that word in there, daily. This is a battle daily. Denying your will. How many times has your will got you in anything good? None. God, 1,000. His will has got me into 1,000 good things. My will got me in so much trouble. Such depravity. Present your body as living sacrifices to God. That's Romans 12:1. That's what it is. You are daily giving your will over to Him. Lord, here I am. I don't understand it. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. You know, when he told Peter, he says, you know, this is what's going to happen when the clock closes 3 times, you're going to deny me. He says, but I have prayed for you. He didn't pay for Peter not to go through it. He said, I pray that your faith fail you not. And then when you come back, strengthen the brothers. Stone. Peter was pretty stone. Peter's the one that pulled out the sword and cut off the priest's assistant's ear. Jesus is like, put that thing up. You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. He said, this is the way it's got to be. Paul even told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Paul, you remember Paul, Saul, who was on the road to Damascus? He says, why do you persecute me? Why do you keep kicking against the pricks? Do you know what the pricks is? It's a sharp instrument that you use to prod the cattle to go a certain way. Saul became Paul, and he was a stone for Jesus. I've learned to be happy whether I'm abased or abound. It's all the same. Paul was hewed out. He said, all my education, it's like dung. It means nothing. Paul was one of the most highly educated men of his time, but it means nothing, he says. Let me tell you, I've got a lot more, and we won't go into it, but we're called to be imitators of Christ. We are called to be crucifying ourselves daily, but I wanted to talk to you about, I wanted to end with 2 Corinthians 4. And if you read 1 Peter 2, that will tell you about some of the things, how to be a stone for Jesus, for the gospel, for the kingdom. And mostly it talks about in the beginning, cleaning out your heart. Come from the inside. You've got to have that assurance. But 4 and 8, verse 8. And it talks about having this treasure in earthen vessels. That's all we are, earthen vessels. And he says, we are troubled. It's verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on each side, every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Be a stone. Be a stone. Distressed, not perplexed. Despair, but persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Troubled on every side, but yet not in distress. Always bearing the dying, the body dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a stone. Enemy don't want you to be a stone. Because when he sees that you have that sure foundation, he can't move you. He can't make you angry. He can't make you sin by swearing or cussing or drinking or whatever it is that pushes your buttons. Baby, he don't like that. He don't want you to be a foundation. We are called in this church to be a stone for this neighborhood, for this city, for this state, for this country. We are a stones of the foundation. Stand fast.